You're basically hockey Twitter now. It's what you wear determines what we talk about.
Yeah,
you know, you're a trendsetter. You get the fortuitous bounce with the Penguins waving the Friedman guy. I was like, I think there was legitimately 1,000 jokes on Twitter that were all made about you. Like, you're just a walking viral person.
Yeah, even without the beard.
You know, it's about time that people have recognized my influence. That's what I have
yes.
to say about this. Yes.
There's just, it's undeniable at this point. The man yes. moves the internet. The man moves yeah. the discussions that we have on hockey Twitter. The fun ones, anyways. The less fun ones happen because of Christine Simpson's interview on The Big Picture with Mike Babcock yesterday. And we spoke about it already on the show. We shared some thoughts, but I thought that it was airing at 7 o'clock. So I missed it live, and I had to go mm-hmm. back and watch it. But I didn't see it before I saw your reaction to the piece, mm-hmm. which seemed uncomfortable. And then I went, wow, really? That's the reaction Elliot had. I went back, and I think Ben and I came away with similar feelings. I wonder, after sitting with it for a while, well, one, was that the first time you had seen it? And two, after sitting with it, yeah, can you kind of expand on those thoughts of what you felt in that moment, that uncomfortableness?
A couple of things. You know, first of all, you know, I spoke to Christine after the show, and like, some people wondered, like, did I have a problem with the job that Christine did? And I want everyone to know that
definitely
no, nothing. Yeah, like no issues with that. Like no issues with Christine at all. I thought she did a great job. So I want to clarify that. You know, that was the first, like, normally I like to watch everything on the air first. I don't like to pre-watch anything, but the producer, Matt Marstrom, he asked me to watch it with everyone else, with Jeff and Anson and Cassie, before the show, because he said, look, you're going to talk about this after, and we just want you to see the interview. So this was like probably one of the first times ever I watched a piece before it aired live. And, you know, my reaction was the same then. You know, JD, I'm going to write about this at some point. I would prefer to do it in that forum. I think I can collect my thoughts better in that forum. This is the second time today that somebody's asked me to expand about it a bit more. And I don't like to say no. This is something I think it's going to be just better for me and everybody involved if I just write what I have to say, and I prefer to do it that way because I think it's the best way for me to say what I'd like to say about the whole thing.
And that's totally fair. And again, that's where you've made your bones, and it's truly the biggest hockey read on the planet, and it is one that is purely your own. So again, like, there's no pushback there. All we kind of had to say for it is that, like, yeah, I'm glad you brought up Christine's part in it, because we don't believe that Mike Babcock should be deplatformed. Like, he gets his opportunity to say his piece, and that, of course, Sportsnet's going to take that opportunity. And, of course, Christine Simpson was the right person to do the job, and she did an excellent job. Like, that was part of what made it so exciting, was that it was the right person and seemingly the right time. It's just, it was, yeah, I think I went into it with an open mind. I went into it trying to believe that what we would see here is someone take accountability, show some measure of being humble, show some measure of contrition. And yeah, just, you know, we were pretty shocked by the fact that, like, we wrote down some of the quotes and we went through them at the beginning of the show, that it was like, you know, I look forward to this, by the way, and that it was so defensive, and that there were things like saying, Franzen and I think we had a good relationship in the face of everything that has been said. And so, yeah, I just, man, I don't know. I don't want to keep kind of asking you questions about it if you don't really want to talk about it. But I will just say this. Does his approach surprise you? Like, did just the approach surprise you?
No, it didn't. Because, like, it's not the first time he's been interviewed, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, you know, there were a few additional things he said in that interview, I think, that, you know, kind of caught people by surprise. You know, I've heard him say the Lou Lamoriello comment before, that he knew he was done after Lamoriello left. But other people, I guess, hadn't heard it before. I didn't think the fact that they, quote unquote, tanked to get Matthews was really that big a deal either. I thought it was pretty obvious that season that that's where they were headed. but, you know, some people thought it was a big deal. The one thing I'll just say is that I don't have a single problem with what people have to say about Mike Babcock. I think everybody is entitled to their opinion. I really don't have a problem with it. There was just, again, I think sometimes on radio we trip ourselves or things get taken out of context. I just think the best thing for me to do is when I'm ready and I'm getting close to being ready, I just like to write everything I feel about the whole situation. That's all.
No, I get it. That's cool. I can just speak from experience. I've never tripped over myself. I've never said anything incorrect or something that in retrospect
A lot of people say that about the two of us is that it's incredible that they do this work every day and never make mistakes. And
I get a lot of comments like, "Do you guys write out the entire show? Yeah. Like, what's your script like for that 3 hours?" And I'm like, "It takes a long time." And that's why. Yeah.
But to answer your question, yes.
So I will not ask another question about Mike Babcock. I'll phrase it this way. Do you think stock in PR firms is going up today? That people realize, you're talking to PR firms before they do media blitzes. It might be a good idea.
Well, the one thing I will say about that is that I do think he should stop doing interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what's done is done. Okay, the things that happened, and you can't change them. So what you can do is you can say, "All right, I'm going to learn." And the thing about the University of Saskatchewan was, I went back and I looked at their roster. Obviously, they're not playing this year. Last year, their team, the age range I saw was 21 to 25. We all remember when we were 21 to 25. We all wish we were 21 to 25 again. It's a big time in people's lives. He has an opportunity, and these are guys who aren't going to be pros. Like, maybe one of them will get lucky, but they're generally not going to be pros. Maybe what's going to happen is he's going to look back and say, "I made this mistake. I did this well. This is how I'm going to make the mistakes and make sure they don't happen to them again." He's got an opportunity to make a positive impact in young people's lives. And, I hope he takes advantage of it. He's been given a new chance, and I hope he takes advantage. But I just think, nobody's opinion on Mike Babcock is going to be changed right now. Nobody's. So I think it's just best that he doesn't do it and he just focuses on how to correct any mistakes. That's all.
Yeah. I will say that that's, largely correct, but my opinion was slightly changed. And I think JD is kind of in the same boat that, that 5 minutes did change things slightly, not entirely. But, yes, we'll be anxiously refreshing.
No, it changed things for me a lot.
I'm just curious, JD, I'm sorry, I was doing another radio hit. And, yeah. Ben, I'm just curious, like you said it changed your opinions. What do you guys think?
Okay, so I have heard... I'm sure much like you, a fraction of what you have heard, right? And I have not heard a good thing about Mike Babcock. I just haven't. Mm-hmm. And the things that we have heard, actually, that's not true. We've heard from Ryan Clough publicly that Babcock helped him a lot during his career. And I have heard things that when it was within the organization, that when it was top to bottom and it was Lou Lamoriello, that the guy was part of the... the culture of change, and that there was an effort as a professional to help people sometimes, right? But the treatment of certain players and the hypocrisy of him were too much for a lot of guys. And that there is a difference in the way that he talked to grown men, to adults, and the way that he handled his players than other hard-ass coaches. Like I mentioned, if you go talk to people about Mike Keenan, for example, that's, I think, a guy people would describe as a hard-ass, right? But people are affectionate towards him, right? People understand that guy. There's some people who don't. Like, you can go through any coach's resume and find players that have an axe to grind or whatever, but ultimately with Babcock, the same thing keeps coming back, which is that he doesn't practice what he preaches. He puts himself on this pedestal, like he's kind of an untouchable figure, and he is, like, pretty... pretty vicious with his guys, and that it does trend into places where a Johan Franzén incident can happen, and that there's no accountability. And so that for someone who preaches that constantly, and again, like quotes from the interview, like that you pull, it's constant with him, where he says, when you cross that line, you have to own that. Well, he doesn't, and he's never shown any indication that he does. And like I said, even with the Franzén thing, where it's like, I think we had a good relationship. Like, you cannot be that delusional that when people come out and say these things about you, that you can put your own spin on the ball. And as what we were saying earlier, there's the reason why there are not more bad Mike Babcock stories are not because of him being a great guy. It's because there are very few Chris Chelioses in the world, where there's guys who played for 20 plus years that have unanimous respect around the league, who have that gravitas, who can be fearless. And that when you solicit opinions about the man privately, you're often met with, this is how I feel, bleep him, I hate him. He's a horrible human being, but I don't want to say anything publicly because I don't want to hurt my career. I don't want to damage my future in hockey. And that's why it's silent. It's not because of the things he says, like he has a family or whatever it is. So when I saw him act that way in an interview, where again, I think you can make mistakes. I think you can come back from things. I think that coaching used to be different. And now we're at a place where, dude, you have to show some contrition. You have to know that some of the things you've done are wrong. You have to actually own those things, and that you're not able to get to that place after all of this is unbelievably disheartening. And it just reaffirms everything that's been said about him, and I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, he showed more contrition for the Marner thing, which I think anyone that's evaluated it critically can understand that that mistake could happen. It wasn't great, and he's been way more contrite about that than the Franzén thing, which is the bigger deal. I don't think he once even said sorry on the air, and he said, yeah, Christine asked the follow-up, did you apologize to him, and he never got through. He never even said publicly in the interview that he was sorry to the world about how that went down.
Well, like, and guys, like, I got, like, I mean, I got no problem with any of this. Like, I think people feel how they feel, and I don't like to, I don't change people's minds. You know, I mean, that's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with the way you guys feel. I don't. You know, I think a lot about the Franzén thing. Like, actually, it's funny you say that, Ben, because I thought that's one of the things I thought about that a lot. I just don't know, like, if he said publicly, like, I apologize to Johan Franzén, but Franzén clearly wants his space, which, and I think that's his choice. Don't know if that does anything, but, you know, like I get it, guys. I do. I really do. I don't have any problem with the way anyone feels. I was just curious to hear reactions. Like I said, I found that very tough to watch last night. I think a lot of different things, a lot of different conflicting feelings, and someday I'll put those down on paper.
And we look forward to it. And again, we don't really need to tell people to follow you, because again, you make the internet, and so people know who you are and they know where to get your stuff. We'll move on. Because people are furious that we have a guest of you like you on, and you, it was nice of you to ask us our opinion, and I went too long as always, and now people are like, "Wow, you didn't let
me." I don't think that. I asked the question.
I know you
better
don't.
Be prepared for the answer.
Yeah. With the Leafs right now, it's becoming more and more clear that Alex Kerfoot is a winger, and that they like him more there, that his speed plays better there, that he doesn't need to be as defensively responsible. Has this changed at all, like, this season, in season, the desire for them to try and add up the middle? Is it even going to be possible for them? Is this going to be the new kind of benchmark when we look at forwards and what this team could do in the trade market, that it's going to be trying to find a center because it doesn't appear they have one in Alex Kerfoot?
Well, I think they're going to try to add something. I do, JD. It's a very good question you raise. Because I thought they were going to look for a top six winger. Is there a chance that they see Kerfoot as that person? The one thing is, I will say this: this year is a screwed up year for a lot of different reasons. It's generally a lot easier to acquire wingers than it is centers. Centers are harder to get, but I mean, who knows what's going to happen this year, JD? It's so screwed up. It's a good question you asked. I kind of wonder about it too. I just could see them trying to go out and get and say, we're going to try to find the best forward we can who fits and then figure out what we've got here.
So I came on the radio the other day and talked about how this lead atop the division isn't as massive as it once felt like because the Oilers are playing a lot better. And certainly if you lose mm-hmm. that game in regulation to the Flames, it's really interesting headed into the weekend. Still is. I mean, you got three straight games against the Oilers. But if you do take care of business, then you feel certainly a lot better about yourself. And this is a team that is struggling through injury right now. Auston Matthews, despite all the goals he's racked up, has had this wrist thing basically all season long. Do you think we have a situation where they're really taking a page out of the NBA's book and giving some of these guys some in-season rest, including Auston Matthews, who we're still hoping that he can do something historic with the 50 goals in a 56-game season, but that kind of goes by the wayside if you're thinking about winning a Stanley Cup and trying to keep him healthy for the postseason?
You know, I got to tell you, I mean, they've battled a lot of injuries all year. I think they've done pretty well, all things considered. They've battled through a lot, especially around the... They've been lucky that their best players, with the exception of Muzzin, skating-wise, have escaped injury. A lot of it has been sort of around the depth. The Matthews thing is really interesting because now that's out there, right? Now everybody knows. Like, I'm curious to see... what kind of extra abuse is he going to be taking now? So I would say, Ben, that I probably don't have the answer to that question yet. Maybe if we get to a point where they feel that they're comfortable, they do tell Matthews to sit it out a little bit. But this looks like the kind of thing that, you know, if it's your wrist, if you're talking about rest, you probably just need more than a couple of games, right? You either battle through it or you can't. So I don't really know if that's going to change a lot of what's going on. I mean, it sounds like it's going to have to be something he's going to have to put up with. And he has.